Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are gods, little g. You are gods because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
Why do people have such a fit about God calling his man little gods?
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation, but what you're about to see or hear is the pendulum swinging in the wrong direction. Yeah, sometimes some preachers go too long, looking in the mirror or anything, but historically, sermons used to be lengthy and meaty. Recently, and I'm talking about really since the introduction of the seeker-sensitive movement, sermons have grown increasingly short, less didactic, very little theology, and more entertainment, and filled with life hacks. Recently, I'm not going to say the preacher's name who's been pastoring a megachurch in Texas for decades, but let's just say he's not as young as he used to be, posted an Instagram video encouraging pastors to land the plane after 20 minutes. 20 minutes, you'd think he was Lutheran or something. Here's the preacher in his car.
I just finished the second service at our beautiful Frisco campus. You know, the first service, I preached 36 minutes.
Whoa! Yo, 36 minutes! Can you even imagine? Now, this pastor is going to go on to explain why, and I would like to engage with him. But before we do, might I share with you some sentiments from some of the greatest preachers who have ever lived? These are individuals who believe that the shepherd was to not just be giving the sheep a snack, but to be feeding them. These are the words of some of the world's most impactful and influential preachers. Here's Martin Lloyd-Jones. The primary task of the church and of the Christian minister is the preaching of the word. This is to set the table for what you're about to hear from this young preacher. Hey, I didn't say his name. The primary task of the minister is the preaching of the word of God. Why? Because Jones, like so many others, believed that the pulpit was the captain's helm. It was the wheel that steered the ship. Okay, I'm not sure my illustrations are exactly accurate, but the point is, it was the pulpit that set the trajectory for the church week, for the church period. Jones, the most urgent need in the Christian church today is true preaching. And as it is the greatest and the most urgent need in the church, it is obviously the greatest need of the world also. The people who come to church have a need. Now, it's not their felt need that they perceive, although those can certainly be addressed, but their greatest need is to be fed the word of God clearly and as deeply as possible. Yes, of course, there should be considerations about the audience's understanding of theological knowledge. Of course, there's that. I would even say we can, to a degree, have an appreciation for an increasingly decreased attention span. But that's radically different than what this young preacher is going to tell you. You got to keep it to 20 minutes because people just can't take any more. Now, they might get fidgety, and I would like to share that I think that there's some reasons for their fidgetiness, because you do have to ask the question, how is it that somebody who goes to a church and gets kind of squirmy after just 20 minutes of preaching can sit and watch a college or NFL football game for 4 hours. Now, I grant you there's a difference between watching a sport and listening and thinking. I get it. But come on, 20 minutes? There could be another issue. Maybe it's not just the audience. Maybe it's the preacher's skill. Martin Lloyd-Jones, it is not clear that the decadent periods and eras in the history of the church have always been those periods when preaching has declined. In other words, when you see the church being impotent in the world, it's because preaching in the pulpit has declined. I wonder if that's why we're seeing what we're seeing in America. What is it that always heralds the dawn of Reformation or of a revival, said Jones? It is renewed preaching. If you're not a fan of Martin Lloyd-Jones, consider the words of Charles Spurgeon. The pulpit is the main bastion of the church. Get ready for this. The Thermopylae of Christendom. That's right. He said the Thermopylae of Christendom. I'll finish the quote and then I'll explain what that means because it's not like I had to look it up on the AI machine. Spurgeon said, "Here the great truths of the Bible must be taught. And he that uses not his pulpit to preach the gospel therein has disgraced it." What is a Thermopylae? It's a Greek word that means hot gates. It was a narrow mountain pass in central Greece. The Battle of Thermopylae was fought in 480 BC. King Leonidas of Sparta and about 300 Spartans with thousands of Greek allies made a stand against a much larger Persian army of Xerxes, the number one. So the pass, the mountain pass, was strategically important. It was a choke point. Only a small number of soldiers could fight at once, which allowed the outnumbered Greeks to hold off the Persians for several days. So you see why he's calling it the Thermopylae of Christendom? The Persians discovered a secret mountain path and outflanked the Greeks. And Leonidas and his men fought to the death. Because of this, Thermopylae has become a symbol of heroic resistance against overwhelming odds. So when Spurgeon said the pulpit is the Thermopylae of Christendom, he meant it's the crucial battlefield where the church must make its stand. If the pulpit falls, if faithful preaching is abandoned, the church itself is lost. That's what he was saying when he referenced an historical term that apparently people in the 19th century could actually understand. You know, not that I couldn't understand it or nothing. Spurgeon, "The moment the church of God shall despise the pulpit, God will despise her." Oof. Sermons should have real teaching in them, and their doctrine should be solid, substantial, and abundant. Spurgeon typically preached between 60 and 90 minutes every Sunday. Quote, "We do not enter the pulpit to talk for talk's sake. We have instructions to convey important to the last degree." A little bit more current, J.I. Packer, "Doctrinal preaching certainly bores the hypocrites, but it is only doctrinal preaching that will save the sheep." And if you happen to be a Presbyterian, you'll love this quote from John Calvin, "At the present day," now this goes back centuries, it was already a concern, "there are many who are well nigh sickened by the very name of preaching because there are so many stupid, ignorant men who blurt out their worthless brainwaves from the pulpit." And on that note, let's get back to this young preacher.
"Way too long. The second service, I did it in 20 minutes and 43 seconds. And guess what? The second message, the 20-minute message, was better."
I'm trying to be gracious. I'm trying to be gracious. Let's give the man a hearing.
"Then the 36-minute message. So preachers, we preach too long. I guarantee it. Just look at yourself. I preach too long. Once a sermon gets past 25 minutes, I'm so ADD, I lose it.
Well, that's something that you need to work on as an attendee. But I would ask this preacher, can he focus on anything for more than 20 minutes? Why is it that an audience struggles to stay engaged for more than 20 minutes? There's only two reasons. One, the preaching is PU, or they aren't coming for the right reason. More from the young preacher.
And I started boring myself in this 36 minute one. So keep it tight and everything will be all right. Mm-hmm. Even, I mean, I'm going through the book of Romans. 20 minutes? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I did it. I did it.
How long should a pastor preach? The answer is as long as is needed in consideration of recognizing there's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. He should preach up to his abilities. If he's not very good, keep it tighter. But not at the expense of the text and not at the expense of feeding people. And you say, well, where do you find that balance? And the key is found in the hearer. That the individual comes to church not to check out the show, not to be amused and entertained. That's why the attention span is so short. You can't make 20 minutes of zippity-doo-dah all that fantastic and captivating. Instead, an individual should come to church with expectancy. What does that mean? Next on Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love.
Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. No subscription, no credit card. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside-down world with biblical wisdom? And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money. You're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small, rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. And get this, it's all free. Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus. At fortisplus.org. You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want the Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free. Because Fortis Plus is free. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. there are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds, all to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Question: what is your expectation when you go to church? This is Wretched Radio. Yes, there are rules for preachers that will determine how long they should be preaching on a Sunday morning, their skill level, the text. Yeah, need to consider the attention span of the audience. Six-year-olds probably going to get a little fidgety at 50 minutes or perhaps less. So the pastor needs to work through that. The pastor needs to be willing to receive feedback from the elders, especially from his wife, who can be so helpful. You didn't ask, but I'll tell you, when I finish preaching on Sunday mornings at Alpharetta Bible Church, when I come down, I know the level of the sermon because of Mrs. Friel's reaction to me. I just know it. And that is a good thing, sir. Use your wife to help you know, how long am I going? Am I being redundant? Do I need more illustrations? Do I need more applications? Let the elders help you with that. That needs to be going on. So there, that plate has always got to be spinning. But simultaneously, the congregation needs to understand that they have a responsibility. Communication is a two-way street. Yeah, you've got the orator, but you've also got the listener. And if the listener comes to church expecting nothing, considering nothing, prepared for nothing, most likely he's going to get very little out of it. And that sermon's going to need to be short because they're probably mostly there because of pattern. It's the expectation. It's the routine. It's good for the kids. But if you are not actively coming to church prepared for something special, well, then you're going to be a bad hearer and you're going to be a squirmer. And by the way, you should know, if you didn't know this, there are some people who are really good listeners. There are some people who just, they sit there, you look out over a congregation and your eyes just keep going back to them because they're good listeners. There are other people, you can kind of tell they're maybe not thrilled with that homily this morning. But the point is, the pastor can see who's engaged or not. Do you want your pastor to become a better preacher? Be an engaged hearer. It encourages him. And come to church with expectation, and you will have far more patience for the length of the sermon that Sunday. Just read this book, Preaching That Changes Lives, from Mike Fabares. Much of this book sang to me as I read it. It was recommended to me years ago. I heard one fellow say it's the best book that he's ever heard on read on preaching. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I finally just got to it. It's been endorsed. Oh, the foreword was written by, have you heard of this guy, Dr. John MacArthur? I guess he's a pretty prominent fellow. He endorsed this book called Preaching That Changes Lives. And at the back of the book, it gives instructions for the hearer. And it's done in the context of the pastor using these points to actually preach to the congregation once a year to be actively engaged participants in the church service. So this might help you go to church with a great deal of expectation. More willing to sit and listen, even if the guy's droning on, he's repeating that same point again, you're going to overlook it because you should be sitting in the pulpit. I should be sitting, or in the pew rather, and I should be sitting in the pew going, okay, what do you got, Pastor? What do you got? Why? Because you realize that this man is speaking on behalf of God. That's his charge, to proclaim the word of God, not his own thoughts and musings. It is to proclaim the word of God. And that means we should be there like, okay, all right, Lord, what are you going to teach me this Sunday? So here's what Fabares recommends from his book. Focus on preparation. Come to church ready. What does that mean? Well, if your preaching is expository, you should have a pretty good idea of where you're going to be next week. Read it. Read the sermon passage. Pray for the service. maybe spend time that entire week thinking about the text and go, I wonder how the pastor is going to put this thing together. I think I might, well, I wonder if he's going to talk about this subject. So in other words, you prepare. Number two, and this is big. This might ignite your passion for preaching and for going to church. Pray for something significant. Fabares writes, our listeners must be taught to pray and trust God for a significant encounter each time they come to hear his word. What do you got for me, Lord? What is it going to be this week? And then you sit there on the edge of your pew going, all right, I'm waiting for it because I know the Lord has something for me this week. An occasional reminder for the congregation to ask God for something significant will drive the number praying for the service from 1/3 to 2/3. So that means you're going to start praying for the church service because you want to experience something great that Sunday by being taught from the Word of God, and you want that for other people too, which is point number three. You want to be more engaged for the service? Pray for the pastor. Pray for him. Dedicate some time to praying for the guy. And that way, when you're sitting there, you can even continue to pray for that fellow. I remember there was a preacher. I don't know who this was. And I'm not even saying this is like the right idea, but the point is the same. He asked, are there 10 people here, 20 people here, raise your hand, who are willing to pray for me throughout the sermon? Okay. I'm not sure that I would mandate that because you want to be engaged on what the pastor is preaching, but simultaneously, it's not bad to be praying for the preacher, just kind of throwing up those little Nehemiah prayers for him while he's preaching. Schedule around church. In other words, think of church as the highlight of your week. That it is the most important thing that you're going to do that week is go to church with expectancy, having prepared, having prayed. Fabares writes, think. When you go to church and you're sitting, think, engage your brain. Think about other Bible verses that relate to that particular sermon. Engage your mind. Don't wait for it to be something that tickles your ears. Engage your brain. Take notes is a recommendation. Now, I think that's a great recommendation to help people stay engaged, and it reinforces the preaching. I don't like to make it a law, however, because sometimes it's just, you need to just hear us or let it wash over you. But it's a very helpful tip. Use your Bibles, suggests Fabares. In other words, not your phone. Bring that book, bring it with you, and follow along wherever the guy happens to go. Fight distractions, hey? There are plenty of ways to get distracted on a Sunday morning by looking around. Fight it. Stay focused on this thing. Why? Because you came with great expectations. Whilst you are trying to do these things, the pastor simultaneously is trying to be thoughtful and engaging and very, very helpful and exceedingly biblical and presented in a way that's impactful. In other words, preaching is a two-way street. Now, he has recommendations for you being engaged in the sermon. Post-preaching review. You've taken notes, so review them. Read through them. Don't just put them away. Retell the sermon. Your family, discussing it on the way home, or share it with somebody. Hey, I know you go to church. I go to church. What did you hear this Sunday? It will make the sermon more lasting for you. Take action from the sermon. Let's just say that the pastor biffed it and he didn't give any application. Then you provide the application. What can I do with this week? You could even be asking that question during the sermon. What should I be doing because of what I've just heard? How does my life change? How should my affections be stirred because of the preaching of God's word? And so if you don't go to church prepared to put some effort in, the reality is we're going to have congregations that absolutely insist that preaching gets shorter and more life hacky. A.W. Tozer said, many a preacher has been warned about preaching over the people's heads. I ask, what are people's heads for? God Almighty gave them those heads, and I think they ought to use them. As a preacher, I deny that any of the truths of God are over the heads of the people. I will deny it, said Tozer.
I just finished the second service at our beautiful Frisco campus. You know, the first service, I preached 36 minutes. Way too long. The second service, I did it in 20 minutes and 43 seconds. And guess what? The second message, the 20-minute message, was better than the 36-minute message.
I do not think that sentence means what you think it means. Pastor, you do your bit. We will do ours. Right? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.